Ah, there we go. Yeah, I can't do a sermon without my notes, right? So yeah, I wondered, that's armor of God. I wondered what those pom-pom things were, but I figured it out. Those are flaming arrows. One reason why we need the armor of God, right? Next slide. All right, so as y'all know, this is St. Patrick's Day. You got green on.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sick. You can't pinch me. So, unless you got gloves, those little rubber gloves, whatever. But yeah, so I saw some parallels. My wife, Ann, she's like, it's St. Patrick's Day, so, you know, I didn't know about it until yesterday. And she's like, yeah, you got to watch something about St. Patrick. So we watched a documentary, and it was based on one of his epistles, for lack of a better term. But he did a lot of the same things the Apostle Paul did, except it was in reverse. He came from Rome, because by then Rome was Christianized. He was enslaved because his church was attacked and everything. He was enslaved as a teenager. He went back to France or something after he escaped, but then God told him to go back. And so he basically did pretty much what the Apostle Paul did in Ireland. So that's interesting. Except we're not supposed to pray to him or anything because we're Methodist, but we sure do appreciate him. I think we believe everybody's a saint, right? As long as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, so the Romans were like asking the Apostle Paul and other Christians, they're like, is this relevant to us? Is this relevant? Next slide. So the Apostle Paul told him, half the time he was in prison when he told him, he's talking to Herod Agrippa right now, and Herod Agrippa didn't really say he got saved, but he's like, this stuff sounds so good that, man, I could almost be a Christian myself. So that's what Herod Agrippa said. All right, next slide. Oh, yeah, by the way, that's a cough drop. It's not tobacco or anything. Well, I could probably use some of that. Nah, just kidding. All right, so there's the armor of God, small print. We're going to go over that. Also try to be inclusive. Next slide. Women can wear the armor of God too, by the way. I try to be inclusive, but not too inclusive. All right, next slide. All right, so it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Yeah, I feel like I'm playing chapel pong. Okay. Put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So remember the temptations of Jesus. Okay, the devil was like, modern Jews, a lot of them don't really believe in the devil as the devil. They think of him as working for God, but testing people to see if they follow the law. Well, the devil saw Jesus, you know, which we know he's bad. But the devil saw Jesus, he's like, okay, you're a human now, you're not God, so I can tempt you. But Jesus fasted. Does anybody remember what it was? Turn these stones into bread, jump off the temple. Man, there was music right when I said jump off the temple. That was cool. He's like, don't tempt the Lord your God. I think before that, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, hey, if you get on your knees and worship me, I'll give this all to you because it's been given to me. Hey, guess who gave the devil all this? Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, right? So that's what happened. But Jesus could not be tempted, so the devil got mad and left, right? There's a devil mad. Next slide. Yeah, see? He didn't like it because, Jesus passed the test, and after that he began his ministry, went around healing people, raising the dead, things like that. Of course, as I said in other messages, Roman soldiers were always close by watching everything. Next slide. So our struggle's not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Which, I use that picture because that reminds me what goes on in our mind. Yeah, of course, Jesus could just go like that with Satan, you know, knock his, if he's arm wrestling, that's it, you know. Yeah, oh man, Satan, sorry I broke your arm. Yeah, I'm God. I didn't mean to hurt you, you know. But anyhow, it's whatever we do. In other words, it's in our mind, so we determine who wins in our life. So Jesus is always there. You know, once you get saved, ask God to come into your heart. Jesus is there. He's given you everything you need. But it's our own mind. Sometimes we give in to temptation and it makes us weak. You know, it makes our armor weak. And maybe we even take it off. Who knows? But it's all within our mind, and it's whether we let God, let Jesus have his way, or whether we let Satan have his way. So we're not really fighting against each other even. And sometimes even a Christian, Satan can use a Christian to get you mad. So you're not really fighting against each other. It's Satan actually trying to bring us down. He uses other people. And so you can even make a mistake. I tell soldiers that, like, somebody makes you mad and you cuss them out or whatever. You could actually be a witness by saying, hey, I shouldn't have done that. You ask God to forgive you. So even if you mess up a little bit, you can be a witness to other people in your interpersonal relationships. So you can, you could make it up, and then you can do better, and then get to the point where, you don't even do that anymore. And then you might be friends with that person. So there's always a way out, but you don't want to go into it too deep. Next slide. So therefore, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. So I got a picture there. So yeah, if God is in charge of everything, why does he allow evil and suffering? Why is everything going on? It's going on in the world today. And why is that being allowed? And it goes back to, we have a freedom of choice. We're not like a dog or a cat or a tree. We got freedom of choice whether we can choose God or not. And so all the suffering in the world's not God's fault. He permits it because he gave us a freedom of choice. Someday he's going to stop that too. He's going to be like, okay, I'm tired of this stuff. It's over with. But until then, we have a freedom of choice. And so all the suffering in the world, and all the evil in the world's our fault. It's not God's fault, but a lot of times people blame God. But then the same people that blame God, you're like, hey, would you like God to force you to worship him so everything would be good? And they're like, they're like, okay. So that, we got to put on armor. Apostle Paul was talking to the Romans. That's why it's in the book of Romans, or Ephesians, actually. But he was talking with the Romans about this. And it was the Roman soldiers. And so, they didn't know the law. They didn't know the Ten Commandments. And that's already written down. And Apostle Paul knew all this. But the Romans didn't have all that background, other than what they heard from, standing around in synagogue and doing crowd control. They weren't brought up in this from their youth. They were brought up in believing in, all the other gods and goddesses and stuff like that. Some gods were good, some were bad. Most of the time they were just like people, except they were gods. So they acted just like we did, usually, or worse. But the Romans didn't have any of that, but the soldiers had their equipment. So Apostle Paul was like, when you fight, you're really fighting against demonic forces, you're fighting against evil, but it's very much like the equipment that you wear every day. But you got to maintain that equipment. You get it from supply. God's supply sergeant never runs out of equipment. God's Walmart is never unstocked and it's free, right? So you never, ever, not saying Walmart belongs to God, but God never runs out of equipment. It's always there. He has a katana if you want it. Ken knows what I'm talking about. Katie does too. That's sword. But anyhow, God has all this, never runs out of it. And so that's what Apostle Paul was telling the Roman soldiers. So we'll do the next slide. So therefore, stand firm, with the belt of truth around your waist. I got some modern belts we use in the army. There's a replica of a sword. The belt's holding the sword. Belt of truth, a lot of things hang on the truth. We used to put our canteens on our belt too. The chaplain said, "Hey, I better not see a big knife on a chaplain." That way, we had to have a little bayonet, not a big one. So we're not supposed to have weapons, guns, elite weapons. That's what in the army they don't want you to call it a gun, but we're not supposed to have those. But So a lot of things hang on a truth. So what happens? Well, what does Jesus say about himself? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So yeah, I work with other religions as a chaplain. I try to find what we have in common rather than how we're different. So that's what I do. But then I don't believe every religion's right, even though they all have a little bit of truth in them. Some of them have more truth than others. Yeah, some of them have falsehoods. But I look at what we have in common instead of how we disagree just to be able to get along. But I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in all these other religions. And that's why, because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the Father in human form. That's the only way we can understand the Father. I couldn't even find anything. I was trying to find a picture of God with his helmet and his breastplate on. I couldn't find anything. I found a few, not anything that wasn't sacrilegious anyhow, but I found a few of Jesus with a motorcycle helmet, but that's about it. So, you know, because, yeah, no one even wants to illustrate God like that. You know, I guess he didn't need his sword because he got thunderbolts or something, but then God's word is that God just says something and it's done. That's why in Revelation, Jesus said his tongue is like a sword. But so everything, a lot of things hang on the truth, just like you see the sword or dagger hanging there. You see his money purse in the front, some of the other stuff. I don't know what it is. So I wasn't in that army, so I don't know. But yeah, so a lot of things hang on the truth. Truth is very important. They all are, though. Next slide. That guy is a very truthful guy. I think he's in church. Hey, so you can't get enough truth, right? Next slide. Okay, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Maybe I got them mixed up. Okay, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. There's a model of a Roman one. It looks like it's plastic, though. But yeah, I was in Iraq. Yeah, let's go to the next slide. See those black things? They're metal plates, but when I went to Iraq, it was kind of like that because we didn't have any plates. We had the outer part to put on, and so we had to get them from the Iraqis that were left there that said, "Hey, we'll join you all instead of fight you." I'm like, good, we need some plates. So that's what we did. But I didn't want to wear that thing because it gave me a backache because it didn't work right. And so we were getting ready to go on a convoy, you know, getting vehicles and go where we could be ambushed and all that really cool stuff. I was in one firefighter where we were shooting at ourselves, and then we're like, hey, we better quit. But nobody got hurt, though. But, yeah, first sergeant walked up to me. Like, I'm a captain. He's first sergeant. Okay, so I'm officer, right? He walks up to me and punches me in the stomach. I'm, whoa, first sergeant, what happened? Man, why are you hitting me? He's like, I can tell you don't have that plate on, chaplain. And I don't want to lose my chaplain. So I wasn't doing the right thing. I was trying to kind of sneak by. And you're not as strong as a Christian when you do that. You can look like you're doing the right thing, but God knows you're not doing the right thing. God knows more than a first sergeant. He knows if you're doing the right thing or not, because he can tell, even though you might look okay in front of other people. So yeah, I wasn't doing the right thing, which is what righteousness means. It means doing the right thing. And so that means everything. I think that's why it's kind of like a breastplate. It surrounds you. That's a guy from World War I. You know, he didn't have the right stuff either. So some people started out World War I with medieval armor. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. But yeah, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, but we got to do it the right way. And how do we find that out? By reading God's word, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Next slide. Lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. So yeah, what does that mean? So just like we went back to that guy where, you know, instead of his brain, it had God and the devil inside his head instead of a brain. But so going all the way back to that, God's trying to gain territory, but so is Satan. The territory's us. So Satan takes more ground by possessing people, controlling people, leading them away from God. Most people willingly go that route, unfortunately. And so as soldiers of God, once Jesus is inside of us, we gain more ground by witnessing to people. And as I talked about earlier, it could be a negative situation that we turn into a positive one. Or it can just be, we don't even need to talk with anybody if they see how we act at work and stuff like that. We're witnessing to people like that. Sometimes I think you can over-witness by being too pushy about the gospel and turn people off. So it's a thing to pray about. And when you feel led to talk to somebody, God fixes a right time. And a lot of times people ask you about it. They're like, why are you smiling all the time? And this stinks over here. This job stinks. What are you happy about all the time for? Then you can have a chance to witness to them about that. I've been at several jobs like that, and then that's how I've witnessed to people. But there's different ways of doing it. And so we got to do it the right way. And that's why it's likened to foot gear. So, yeah, soldiers had to go through. You can't go anywhere without your foot gear. And so you got to be always ready to go spread the gospel of peace, either by words, by direct witnessing, or by actions. And you're always witnessing, and you got to realize that. And I have to realize that. I don't always realize that. And so when we realize that, it kind of changes the way we do things. So we got to have the proper foot gear on, though. We can't try to witness with people barefoot. Next slide. It's kind of like a modern version of a Roman foot gear. I think they often wore more than just sandals. All right, that's next slide. That's more like it. You could probably do more with those on. Because you got, next slide. You got to walk through. That's why witnessing is important. Like those rocks look pretty sharp. He wouldn't want to run across those barefoot with a bunch of gear on. You wouldn't be able to go anywhere. So if we're not ready to witness, we're not going to be effective. If we're not ready to live right, we're not going to be effective. So if we don't do the right thing and we don't have the proper foot gear on, we're not going to go anywhere. Next slide. So with all these, take the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So here's what the Roman soldiers did. Their shields, like in the movies and stuff, usually it shows like just metal shields. But actually they had them covered with leather because fiery darts, anybody that plays video games in their mom's basement when they're in their 30s, knows that the next stage in a video game for the archery is having flaming arrows, and you can do a lot more. You don't have to look for a job because you're playing video games. But anyhow, that's like a step up and a level up in a game, because fiery arrows can do a whole lot more. You can even miss the target, but if it hits close by, it starts a fire. And so Roman soldiers had shields that they kept dipped in water, and when the arrows hit them, it would put them out, and they could use the shield to put out fires because the shields were wet. And it wouldn't burn the leather as long as they kept them wet. So I'm sure they had a way of doing all that. Next slide. Okay, well, sometimes we have a little problem with our faith. But see, he has faith in that shield. He's even running with it burning. So that's when you can ask God to help you with reinforcements. Next slide. I think that's more or less an authentic Roman shield, covered with leather, and so it's good to go. Shield of faith. Next slide. All right. Take the helmet of salvation. So I thought that was a pretty good illustration because, everybody knows we're referring to, Roman helmets, or we're referring to soldier helmets. By the way, in the army, those new Kevlars they had that looked like Nazi helmets, one of them stopped a bullet that was about to hit the back of that guy's neck. Well, guess what? They changed the design to where they made it a little higher. I don't know why they did that. Maybe so you won't turn around and run. Kind of like Roman armor, there wasn't really too much on your backside, so you didn't want to turn around. I don't know. But, that helmet stopped a bullet, saved a guy's life. And there's a lot of stories in any army museum you go to on base. It's going to have the helmet with a bullet in it. It's going to have a display where the Bible, where the bullet hit and saved a guy's life. It's going to have stuff like that. If it doesn't have the actual objects themselves, it has like a little readout where you can like stand there if you want to read instead of walk around. So there's going to be stuff like that. But what is salvation? That's a whole, cough drop, they get sharp if you don't move them around. Well, yeah, there we go. That's better. But so helmet of salvation. Salvation is saving your soul. So yeah, all this other stuff is just good stuff to do if you're not saved. Drill sergeant used to say, "Hey, wear your helmet." When I went to basic training, it was fun. I know some of y'all been in the military, and it was probably even funner when you went. Some of y'all, but if we were in class and we fell asleep, they'd get a stick and hit us over the head. But we had our helmet liners on, because back then we had a helmet liner, and then we put a helmet on over it. And I found out that's so they could hit you in the head when you fall asleep. And I woke up, I didn't sleep anymore in class. He said, "You owe me 20 push-ups." But then we got out of class, and he's yelling at everybody. So I guess I stayed awake and did a good job, so I didn't have to. He figured he'd get me later. I don't know. They always do, though. They always get you later. So everything catches up with you in the long run. Just like telling the truth about, "Hey, Sergeant, I don't have any candy. Let me search your locker." Oops. I saw that. A guy had a whole bag of candy. I won't mention any names. But yeah. But anyhow. Yeah, so you have getting saved. How do you do that? You ask Jesus to come into your heart, take away your sins, and you really mean it, and you're saved. There's one slide I took that I looked at, but I didn't put it on because John Calvin, a good theologian, you know, when everybody broke away from the Catholic Church, they started reading the Bible on their own because it was in English, and so the different reformers kind of split up because they interpreted the Bible slightly different ways, but I think it all goes together. You know, when I read it, I can see where each one believes something, but each belief is right, actually. But one thing Calvin said, he's like, the helmet of salvation gives us a hope of salvation, but it's a little bit more than that. But that's kind of, they came straight out of the Catholic Church where, well, we can hope to be saved because we have our hope in Christ. But there's not, hope is very important, but if you ask God to come into your heart and take away your sins, even if it's hard to believe in Jesus, you say, "Help me believe." You're going to be saved, and he's going to help you believe. So that's not a hope. Salvation is a fact. And so we know we have eternal life, and that's a real positive hope, but it's not like it's not going to happen or anything. So salvation is the most important thing in the arsenal, and it protects your head, which is, you know, where your brain is. That's why the drill sergeant used to tell me my helmet was the most important thing I got, you know, and I'm like, "What about all the other stuff?" But he's like, "Nope, you better not be caught without that helmet on. That way they can hit you over the head if you fall asleep in class." Well, one guy wrote his mom, too, and told his mom everybody was doing that, and we liked that guy because he got to do, all the attention was on him for another week or so, and he had to do all the bad details, but he got through too. Next slide. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that's the last one. Oh, sorry, it's not the last slide. I apologize for that. But yeah, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So how is the Bible a sword? I mean, some of them are heavy enough you could really hurt somebody if you threw one or snuck up behind somebody and hit with them. But that's not what kind of weapon it is. It's a spiritual weapon. So how do you do that? You read about it, and you read about how to use all your other weapons, and you read about how to get closer to God. So you got to, no matter how many study Bibles you read with the notes or whatever, you know, you got to stay in the Word of God every day because it keeps you from going astray. And if you don't, you start drifting, and that's just a known fact. So we gotta maintain our weapon by reading it, because it's in our heart, really. Because the Bible, yeah. Somebody said, "Hey, Chaplain, what if I threw a Bible in a fireplace? Would it burn, or would the cover just burn off?" I'm like, "No, it would burn, because without reading it, it's just a piece of paper and it's just words. If you don't read it, it's nothing. It's just like everything else. Because what really makes it work is when you read it and follow it, because it says God's word is written on your heart. So it's not really, the Bible is just a series of words that we read. Then when we incorporate it, it becomes the word of God. And that's how the word of God never passes away. It's not, I told that person, I'm like, no, it's still burned. That's not what that's talking about. It's not, it's talking about you read it and you memorize it and learn it. And then that way you're following it and the word is active. It's active through us and it can really fight evil through us. And one inmate, I got some prayers because they have bad dreams and stuff, you know, I wonder why, you know. But anyhow, and there's demonic experiences in jail. And so one thing is arsenal protection. Somebody asked me for that and I'm like, I looked it up and it's a series of prayers and one of them's putting on the armor of God. It's similar to the one we read out loud today, but I'm like, that one's a little bit too long for the bulletin. But a couple of inmates from different jails have told me that when they put on the armor of God, then God tests them. And so that's what they say. But then it helps them overcome the test. But one guy was telling me every time I pray that, and he's like, I'm doing it every day now, but it's like if I don't do it and then I do it after a while, then something happens, you know, so he does it every day. But yeah, it's interesting. It's, you really see that stuff work when you see people in those situations. Next slide. So what kind of sword do you want? You definitely don't want the lukewarm shank. That's what they call them in jail. They call them, the bad inmates make little pieces of metal out of bedding, out of the shower too. They have to inspect everything every day to make sure no pieces of metal are missing. Because, you know, they'll make a little knife or something out of it. It's a constant thing going on there. Next slide. Here we go. So we got to, it's how the Japanese maintain their swords. But yeah, so we have to maintain the word of God. How do we maintain our word? How do we do that? Read the Bible first and foremost. That's how we maintain our sword. We read the Bible, and we meditate on what it says, and then most of all, we pray. So that's how we maintain our sword. So, you know, it's not like a physical sword where we got to clean it. I could take my weapon apart in the dark in the army. I could take my rifle apart and put it back in the dark. I don't know if I could still do that. I might shoot myself if I put it back together. But next slide. So that's it. So God's word is a sword. Sorry if that's too violent looking. Next slide. All right. But we pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that keep alert and always preserve in supplication for all the saints. So that's it. That's a final way to maintain everything and to use everything is through prayer. And so that's what we do. So next slide. So yeah, are we ready? Are we ready to do God's word? Are we ready to be issued those weapons and take them up? Are we already doing it? That's something we should ask ourselves daily. Next slide.